Hi, Jennifer. Hi. All right.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
Good.
Okay, well, we'll wait another couple. There's Gina. Good. We'll give it another minute here. People are streaming in. I suppose we could start. Welcome, everyone. I'm here with Casey. Hi, Casey. Okay. You are on the meeting. Anyway.
Hi, I'm sorry. Hello.
That's okay. Hi, Gina. Well, let's just get started. This might be we only have 40 minutes. I'll just tell you, I know we all want to talk, but we're limited. So Zoom will boot us out in 40 minutes. Okay, without any further ado, let's just go to Dan's report. Do you want to give us an update? Oops, you're muted, I think.
I'm muted, sorry, there we go. Okay. Well, thank you everyone. I hope everyone enjoyed your snow day, or at least your students enjoyed their snow day. I can't remember the last time we had 3 days in a row, actually. It's been quite a while, and I've been in the district 21 years. So I can only remember one or two other times that happening, and it usually doesn't happen in a row. But I know that I was actually kind of looking forward to getting back to school, because having my parents in town, and my wife's parents in town, and other relatives, I've been doing a lot of shoveling. So I'm still very sore. But anyway, it was a nice respite. You know, a couple of things. It's been, you know, one of the things that I've been really excited about, and hopefully some of you got to see these events too, was our performing arts programs have been doing some really amazing work, they always do, but they've been highlighted kind of in this past month. And I had the opportunity to see our drama production of Our Town at the Missouri Thespian Conference a couple of weeks ago down at Stiefel Theater, which was really cool to see them on such a huge stage, but they just did an amazing job. And it was the same performance that they did at CHS, but they were selected to close the state festival, which was really, really neat. And so, I had the opportunity to see them, and so that was outstanding. Then this past weekend, our drama production, our drama program did a Deconstructed Melody. So that was our Broadway musical. We only had one of the performances snowed out. That was Thursday night, but they were able to get the other performances in, but they also did an outstanding job. And then a couple of weeks ago, I also had the opportunity to go down and see our symphonic orchestra, who was selected as one to perform at the state music educators conference down at Tantera. I had the pleasure of introducing them at the festival, and they just did an amazing job as well. But it just goes to show how talented all of our kids are, and what a great job, how hard they work, and how hard our teachers work to support them. And the parents are so great about, giving of their time and getting them to practices and that sort of thing. But it's really, really exciting, because I know we do a lot of things well in the academic realm, but I don't know that we always recognize the performing arts as much as that we probably should. But hopefully you got to see some of those. And we do have the SRM coming up, the student run musical later this spring, and a couple of other concerts. But if you do get a chance, get out and see them, because our kids do amazing things. Right now, we're in the middle of registration for the upcoming school year. So the counselors are going to start 10-minute meetings with all of the students as they start to register. Those registrations are coming in pretty consistently. I think we're at about 70 or 80% of the registrations in at this point. And then basically what we'll do is we'll figure out our staffing and start to build a schedule after that. But for the next couple of weeks, counselors are meeting with students and kind of talking about the registration choices for next year. It's a busy time. In addition to budget and master schedule building, this is also hiring season for us. And so we're in the midst of finalizing some of our hires for next year. We're in the process of hiring an AP environmental science teacher / biology teacher. Mr. Collis is retiring. We're also in the finalizing our process for hiring an English teacher. Jen Selenrick is also retiring this year. And we just recently hired a new vocal music teacher to unfortunately replace Ty Oney. And if any of you had the chance to meet or work with him, he joined us a little over a year ago and left us actually to take kind of his dream job with Opera Theater of St. Louis, actually. So, I was sad for our kids and sad for us that he left, but his dream opportunity came along. He actually had a background as an international opera singer before he came to us. And Opera Theater kind of snatched him up to do some outreach work and mentoring of artists and do some diversity, equity, and inclusion work actually for other opera companies around the country. So we certainly wish him well, but we're very excited about Claire Minnis, who we hired to replace him for the remainder of the year. And also we're in the process of finalizing our hire for our visual arts program. Mr. Harmon, who is with us this year, was hired on a one-year position because it came open so late last year, but we are finalizing the position for next year. And finally, Marianne Modzielewski, Mods, our college counselor, is also retiring. So we, Carolyn Blair and I are actually, we're sifting through resumes actually earlier today. So we're in the midst of that process to hire a new college counselor for next year. So it's a busy, busy time. On March the 2nd, we're going to be giving the SAT, or we'll be administering the SAT to all of our juniors and the PSAT to all of our 10th graders on that same day. So we'll be pretty much taking over the building. More information will be coming out later this week, but that day, March the 2nd, will actually be an asynchronous day for 9th and 12th graders. So that they'll be working from home that day so that we can accommodate all of the PSAT and SAT testers in the building that day. But like I said, more information will be coming out about that very soon. Then about a week or so after that, the week of March 15th, we will have parent-teacher conferences. More information about signups will be coming out about that here in the coming weeks. We will, our plan is to have both an in-person and a Zoom option like we did in the fall. So we will have an in-person option. I believe it'll be Wednesday the 16th is when we will do that. And then we will have a Zoom option at some point that week. We're still working it out because we won't follow exactly the same pattern as we did in the fall, because if we did that, that would place our evening of Zoom conferences on Friday Eve, the 18th, which is actually the eve of spring break, which I don't think any parent or teacher really wants. So we'll be moving that time slot earlier in the week, and I'll know more later this week once we finalize it and get that communicated. I haven't seen if Tashawn is on here, but we are moving forward with plans on prom on the 30th of April. And then Tashawn's going to talk more about that in a little bit. And then we also are, and I'm going to put this in air quotes, planning on having a regular graduation, and we'll be back at Chaffetz Arena as of now, actually for May 26th, we've been working closely with them. They have their COVID protocols in place. They're revisiting them, I know, in April, but as of now, everything is a go for using Chaffetz again, like we have in the past. But it's kind of all the goings on right now, actually, at the high school. But I think that's it.
Does anyone have any questions? Nope.
I do. So the sophomores take the PSAT. Is that the National Merit Scholarship one, or is that the PSAT Pre-SAT 10?
So it will actually be the PSAT 10. So it's actually that's an excellent question. So the test that is used for national merit is actually the PSAT that they take in the junior year. And so this is basically the 10th graders getting their first crack at that. So it's kind of a practice for the practice ACT for the National Merit Scholarship.
Right. And the other question I have on, well, maybe it's somebody else's issue, but on the prom, is it limited to certain grade levels?
So a prom at CHS is 11 and 12. And I haven't, is Tashawn on here? Because I know she was going to talk about it.
But I don't see her yet. No.
I'll text her real quick. If not, I can.
I just texted her.
You want to go on? I'll come back. Actually, okay. Let me text her real quick, and I'll come back to it.
Okay. Gina, can you give us your financial update?
Before sure. We move on, Brian, what about the follow-up from the last meeting when it was raised about having the academic issues addressed with the principal, like the a substitute for, it wasn't my issue, but I didn't see any follow-up on the issue.
I put it, and I think, are you talking about the questions we had about having a follow-up with Dan?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Dan, do you want to talk to that a little bit about...
Sure. I did have a chance to talk with Brian and Casey actually a little bit after me, and I apologize. I couldn't get on to the last meeting. Actually, I was, so I eventually gave up, but, my understanding was the two parts, I guess there were some questions around the grading of homework actually. And let me back up. Over the past two or three years, the building has been looking at how, you know, our grading practices and ensuring that our grading practices are equitable. And one of so as we began that study, we recognized that there were some inequitable practices going on in our building. And so we started to take steps to address those practices. And one of those being is we did not have a consistent grading scale, even between like courses. So we had some courses where a student could earn an 87% in their course. And let's say it was College Prep English 1. And one teacher was calling that a B+, and another teacher was calling that a B. So the first thing we did a few years ago was we streamlined that by course. And then what we found too is that some teachers were not giving some teachers didn't feel that it was appropriate to give A pluses, and other teachers did. So then it became luck of the draw as to which teacher you got as to whether you were eligible for an A plus. So we recognized that there were some issues that we needed to really standardize our grading practices. So about 2 years ago, well, I guess a year and a half ago, we put in a building-wide grading scale. And so we implemented that to kind of solve those issues that we talked about. Then the next thing that we did is basically as we're looking forward and looking at students having opportunities for practice before high stakes assessments. And so basically that we want to ensure that all teachers all teachers are giving students opportunities for feedback and practice before any sort of high stakes assessment. Now that practice and not to go too far into the weeds with this, but we're basically formative opportunities before you have a summative opportunity. And so, but making sure that the formative opportunities don't penalize kids for basically getting practice. And then making sure that the grades that teachers are giving are reflective of what students can actually do. And so that they're grading performance as opposed to basically student behaviors per se. I mean, even things like as silly as it sounds, you know, like giving points for bringing in boxes of Kleenex actually for extra credit. I'm like, I mean, that's not that really shouldn't be happening. In studying those practices, we found that occasionally that was happening. And so making sure that grades actually reflect what a student can do. And so we've had a lot of conversations around that, though I do seem to believe that there seems to be a misperception that there's a ban on counting homework, and that's just not the case. Lots of teachers count homework. Now, I would argue that your homework should not be the majority of your grade. Teachers still have the autonomy to count homework as they see fit, actually. And that was kind of the feedback that I was getting, that there's a perception that there's the teachers aren't allowed to count homework, but that's just not the case. And then also one of the things that we're looking at is with the idea of summative assessment, giving kids opportunities to demonstrate their giving kids the opportunity to demonstrate their learning on more than one occasion. So this is still in its infancy, but we're working with teachers to explore opportunities for retakes, actually, so that that if you don't do as well on a test, like setting some parameters actually for having an opportunity to retake particularly those larger summative assessments. We're still kind of in the experimental stage with that, but our hope is to broaden that practice in the coming years. But those are kind of the three big grading things that we've been working on actually over the past few years. Brian did mention also that there was a request to bring back Principal's Coffees. That's something that we can certainly do. Obviously, they kind of died away when COVID hit because we haven't had people in the building, but we could certainly look at doing something virtually. The other feedback I got was the question about why they were at 9 o'clock in the morning. Honestly, historically I've kind of used the two different formats. We had the principal's coffee at 9 o'clock in the morning, like quarterly. Because that was like a daytime. Now, obviously, a lot of folks work or can't necessarily make that. We were also using the PTO as a time to have a question and answer session. And I frankly cover a lot of the same topics at the two meetings, so it was just the idea was to give folks multiple options, but we can certainly look at bringing back the principal's coffee, even in a virtual setting, if we want to do that.
Suzanne, is that, does that answer, you think, the questions we had?
Well, I think it's too bad that Lainey isn't here. She was the one that raised the issue about the homework not counting, but I think it is inconsistent among some teachers. I did have the experience of one of the honors math classes. They're like, from week one, they're like, this year we've decided no homework counts, no retake. You know, they were trying to take a hard line and that was in math. So I don't know what Lainey's experience was, if it was other subjects, but I feel like there's a lack of consistency and a lack of communication about those type of policies. So if some teachers are maybe presenting it as a policy to kind of take the heat off, or they hope it will become the policy, but there should be clearly communicated if there is a policy change.
Well, what I would say is we did ask departments to create consistency, particularly among course alike groups that I was mentioning, and we asked them to communicate those policies in their syllabi actually too. So now, I'm assuming that they are communicating that in their syllabi, but if you find that's not the case, let me know. I'll be happy to check into it.
I mean, I don't believe that there is a consistency policy at this time. I don't think that that's been communicated. I mean, you're saying that that isn't a policy, and Lainey had the experience that it was, but I mean, I don't want to speak for her.
It's not a building-wide policy. Yeah. We did ask departments to establish consistency between course alike groups. So they may be referring to it as our departmental policy is X, Y, and Z. So that could be the case, but you're right. It's not a building-wide policy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess just in my personal experience coming back to school, it was like in week one, you know, when other school districts were saying, okay, we have to look at how much our kids might have missed out on learning with the hybrid learning and all kind of things. Week one, it was like a kind of hardcore policy of no homework counts, no retake. You know, I was really surprised by it. But I don't know where to look. You know, I don't know where to find. I I've mentioned the PowerSchool thing before and Google Classroom. I struggle to even find the syllabus from the different teachers. I mean, it's not required to be posted in any certain place. So I just again ask for the transparency and consistency.
We do ask teachers to post them on their district website, actually, for their each of their courses, it should be there. If it's not, I mean, I'll be happy to address it.
Okay, it's not, but I can send you the specific.
Just send me the teacher's name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad we've gotten to an agreement here of where things are, I suppose. Any other questions on that topic? I know it was a popular discussion point last time. Anyone else? Okay. Let's move on then. I see that Tashan has joined us, and Dan has briefed us a little bit about the prom, but we were hoping you'd join us, so thanks for coming. Do you want to, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry for my tardiness. We had basketball this evening, so our JV boys and freshmen took on MICDS, and it was a good victory for our JV team, so that was exciting. But as far as prom, I'm sorry, I don't know exactly what all was said, but it is still slated to take place on Saturday, April 30th at Windows on Washington. We have the class sponsors and the class officers. We have four officers that will be visiting the location on Thursday, just so, because things, the last time we kind of set a menu and decorations, it was literally 2 years ago. And so here we are, fast forward, and things may have changed a little bit. So I know that's for some of the parents, or it was brought up about just being downtown and speaking with our SRO officer. We typically, when there's gonna be a high populated event, we kind of beef up not just security, but we have law enforcement officers. So we will have Clayton Police Department or Clayton Police officers. And then sometimes he will reach out to the jurisdiction that we're in. So St. Louis City Police, but we'll have, and usually when we did this 2 years ago, Herman actually went down. And so just using, I guess, his police expertise, just kind of looking at the parking lot, looking at, you know, the entrances, he would kind of tell us how many officers we would need. And so he's done the same thing. So we'll have those officers in place. As far as the students getting there and parking, Windows on Washington will provide shuttles that will pick up the kids from their parking spot and then take them to the venue, which the parking lot is just really on the backside of the building. So we'll have police officers there. And then at the entrance, and kind of, we usually have Herman on the inside as well as possibly another officer. So we're working out all the logistics of that.
Any questions, anyone? Okay, and then the after prom, we'll also try to pick up where we left off 2 years ago. And I know Casey's been calling, the City Museum and trying to see exactly where we left off and, you know, inquire about our deposit and all that. And we'll have more information on that.
I did get in contact with Zach. He is also a CHS alumni. He is taking over for Kelly Rittner. He is going to look into it because apparently at this time, there was some communication between Melissa Clark and Kelly, and the last communication was that they were not able to send us a deposit, and that was in April of 2020. So he wants to know if there was one, and if it was, where it was sent. So I will keep you all updated on that.
Thank you. Okay. Anything else, Tashawn, that you want to share with us?
Nothing really on my radar at this time.
Okay. Well, that's it's good to hear the prom is on, and let's keep our fingers crossed.
So. Oh, one more. I'm sorry, because I know on the calendar, on the original school calendar, Pepper's prom was slated for this weekend, and I just had maybe like a kid or so just kind of like, hey, Ms. Young, is that still happening? No, Pepper's prom will not be happening, at least in its form, and it's not taking place this weekend. And so usually the sophomore class, they kind of head up Pepper's prom. And so since the beginning of the year, they've been kind of bouncing around different ideas, and they are looking at possibly doing something at the beginning of April, since prom is usually geared towards the juniors and the seniors. And so usually usually with Pepper's prom is heavily populated with freshmen and sophomores. So the students are kind of getting a feel from the rest of the students, like, is this something that we want to do more so in April? That's geared more towards the freshmen and sophomores, since the juniors and seniors will have prom. So just to, in case anyone was wondering, Pepper's prom will not be happening in February, but we're looking to do some other kind of spring fling kind of dance in April.
Okay, any questions for Tashawn? Nope.
How is that different than prom? What do you do at that?
So Pepper's prom, and Dan probably could speak more about this, but it was almost like a Sadie Hawkins where it was supposed to be like the females would ask the males, but it's not as formal as prom, and we typically host it at the school instead of an outside venue, and it's not as formal as prom. And so over the years,
I would say that the history on it, actually, if you look at the name of it, it's actually Pepper's P-E-P-P-E-R-S apostrophe. And that's because there used to be a group called the CHS Peppers. That was before girls were allowed to play sports. So it goes way back. And so they were a girls' spirit squad, actually. And so, as Tashawn said, that they developed a dance called Pepper's Prom that was their version of a Sadie Hawkins girl ask guy dance, actually. And so it's kind of hung around in Clayton lore. Now, if you look at like old yearbooks, it literally the guys wore tuxes and the girls wore really formal dresses. In more recent decades, it became more of a casual Valentine's Day. I'll call it Valentine's Day dance. But we've struggled to get attendance at that dance for whatever reason, I would say, especially for the past 10 years, I would say. It used to be quite popular, I'd say 20 years ago, but it's definitely kind of tapered off in the past 10 or so years. And the Peppers Club doesn't really exist anymore. So it's only the name.
I would just like to raise one issue. I hope the kids presented it themselves, but I feel like in the future we should really get rid of any of the gender aspect of that dance, despite the history of it. It's just become such a, an issue for kids. I just think that it would be inappropriate to continue with having the gender aspect. Have they already expressed that or?
Well, even since this is my fourth year there. And so honestly, the kids that have attended, I highly doubted that they even realized that this was the girls asking the guys, so that it's not presented that way. And I don't think that many of the kids know that. And so even now, as they are moving forward with what are we going to do with this dance, like there it is not a gender kind of specific, or it's just really like, what can we, what kind of dance are we going to have?
And even in my 20 years here, it's never been promoted that way. I know the history on it I know a lot of Clayton lore, actually, but that's never been an expectation. Now, I will say that there was a time, I would say 15 or 20 years ago, and it was generally children of alums, to be perfectly honest, that knew the lore, that there was nothing formal about it, but I guess they tried to carry on the tradition at some point, but
yeah, I mean, I think
never anything that was endorsed by the school.
Well, wherever it is written on the calendar, whatever, there's only one sentence about the Pepper's Prom, and that's exactly what it says, and that's the only thing it says. So I just feel like it's something to let go at this point.
Oh, Brian, you're on.
I think you're on mute, Brian.
Okay, I was just saying we're down to seven minutes, not 7 seconds. Thank you, Tashawn. Gina.
Okay, very quickly. We have total dollars raised. We're up to $28,440 for this academic year. It's a little short of our $32,000 budget, but if you remember, we still have $4,000 available in after prom dollars from prior years. So those dollars can add to whatever we've raised this far. So we should have more than enough to fund that program. And we've also had just over $6,000 in funds for excellence from prior years that we have been able to use this year as well. So we'll be able to fully fund that. And we agreed that we were going to fund any staff appreciation shortage that we may see. So financially, we're doing great. Our current Simons Bank balance is just under $72,000. We have $100 at PayPal. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Okay, I'm going to ask Liz, do you have anything any updates on the staff appreciation?
Not that I know of right now. I guess we were going to try to do some snack thing for the staff, but we do due to the uptake on COVID cases, we've foregone that. So we will talk with Dan and Phoebe more about what next we can do.
Okay, because I guess what we're saying is now we've got the funds to do what you had asked
Yes, for, so. We will try to in March is when we do the parent teacher conference meal. So that is one thing that we will be providing, and we'll have to explore like what we can do to do it safely.
Okay, thank you. Any questions on that? Anyone? Okay. I guess now I'm just going to open it up to the other committees. If anyone has any updates they want to report.
Hey, Brian, yes. Real quick, I did get an answer from our meeting earlier today. So that we are fully endorsed that Parent Connections can do whatever they want to. Actually, at this point, the I know that you were asking about kind of whether the district was okay with that, and I got confirmation from central office that they have the green light to do whatever they want.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay, so yeah, because that was the thing we were all kind of wondering about what restrictions there were, and so it's good to hear that we're almost back to normal. It sounds like it. I'm trying to see here what else we may have questions on. We have a whole 3 minutes left. Anyone else have any comments, questions? Casey,
I don't have any questions or comments, but I will keep you all updated with the after prom finances.
Okay, thank you. And we have a few volunteers for after prom, and so we'll have to get all of you together and pick up where we left off, I guess. Anyone else? We're going to be done early. Okay, well, thank you all. And look for our minutes. I think we'll actually post the video. I mean, not the video, but the audio on the website as well. So if you want to go listen to this again, it'll be there. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Dan.
You're welcome.